The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Jesus commissions harvesters and laborers to go where he would go and do what he would do, risking hardship and danger in exchange for the experience of great joy. They offer peace and healing as signs that that reign of God is near. I begin reading at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in that same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This weekend, we celebrate the anniversary of our country being formed. I think it's the, 240th anniversary. And what we celebrate is life here in the United States and liberty and justice and freedom. And one of the freedoms that's guaranteed in our Constitution is the freedom of religion. And today, we're here practicing that, aren't we? We're here worshiping God. We're celebrating Christianity. We are practicing our freedom of religion. We don't have to worry about, or at least I hope not, that there's some government official sitting in here taking notes, ready to hammer us one day, or a state official telling us how we are to conduct our worship, what we can say and how we can do it. I don't think we have to worry about police officers standing outside of our doors ready to arrest us as we leave this morning. We don't have to worry about some militia coming in with explosives or machine guns to cut us down as we worship. Unfortunately, that does happen in other countries across the world. And so today, or this weekend, we celebrate our freedom to be able to worship in the way in which we choose. In our second lesson today, Paul doesn't specifically mention freedom, but the underlying tone of that whole letter to the Galatians is about freedom. It's about freedom in Christ and what that means. In our lesson today, Paul is concerned that some of the teachers there, or some of the preachers there, are trying to take that freedom away. He's worried about a false teaching. He's worried about a false gospel in that text. And this is why he's worried. Think about it just a little bit. If we go back to the very beginning of the Christian church, it was Jewish for the most part. Just about everybody in that first Christian church was Jewish. All 12 of Jesus' disciples were Jewish. Those people that were hanging around Jesus and that we see pictures of from time to time throughout the stories, there's more than just the 12 that follow Jesus around, particularly some of the women who are mentioned, or maybe a friend like Lazarus. There's other people who follow Jesus around as well. They too are Jews. Maybe a few Samaritans in there, but for the most part, they are Jews. And then on that day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people were baptized, those 3,000 people just about exclusively probably were Jews. They had come into Jerusalem for a Jewish festival, to celebrate a Jewish festival, and that's where the disciples were filled with that Holy Spirit, and they went out and were able to speak to them in their own native tongues. So the earliest part of the Christian church was Jewish, and people started to see it as just a sect of that Jewish religion. Just as in Christianity, we have many different denominations. We're still all Christian, but we're different from one another. And people saw that as Christianity as compared to Judaism at first, because most of the people who were Christian were also Jewish. And many of the Jewish people still continued to go to synagogue in those very early years. But as the disciples started to disperse, as they took for being serious that great commission of going to all the nations, that's what they started to do. They spread out. Those other nations then didn't have Jewish populations. They were Gentiles. And that's what's happening here in Galatia. The people there that made up the congregation of Galatia were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And the false gospel that was being taught then was that you need to become a Jew before you can become a Christian. And Paul says that is nonsense. You are set free from following all the laws, all the rituals, of making the sacrifices that have to be made in the temple, of going through all the right steps. You're free from that law that says that God loves you only when you follow the law. He is saying that in Christ you are set free. Once and for all, Christ is the Lamb of God who made the sacrifice for us. We are made clean. We are made right with God once again. Here in the United States, we do celebrate our freedoms. It's assumed, though, that with freedom comes responsibility. In order to maintain our freedom here in the United States also means that we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to be informed. We need a good education system so that people can learn to read and write, but also learn how to think and learn how to be responsible for yourself and also for other people. It demands that we be informed of what's going on so that we can make good decisions in our lives, but also make good decisions then as far as electing politicians who will lead our country and retain those freedoms within our country. Same with Christianity. With freedom in Christ comes responsibility. Freedom doesn't mean just the ability to do whatever I want, whenever I want, to whomever I want. Christianity means that I need to be responsible so that other people too can have freedom in Christ. That freedom in Christ means that we don't have to follow all those laws, those codes, those rituals, those steps, but rather God loves us in the first place. We simply believe and are baptized. We ask for forgiveness from God, and we are set free then with the power of the Holy Spirit, with those gifts of the Holy Spirit, to go and do and proclaim that gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about messing up. We don't have to worry about the consequences of spreading that gospel. God takes care of that. We can unload our own burdens on God, those things that tie us down, those things that, that hold us as prisoners and become free in God. God calls us into action. He calls us to go forth to make disciples of all nations. He also sets us free to be able to do that. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen.